The first reading this morning is taken from Psalms 35:11-14. Ruthless witnesses come forward. They question me on things I know nothing about. They repay me evil for good and leave my soul forlorn. Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. When my prayers returned to me unanswered, I went about mourning as though for my friend or brother. I bowed my head in grief, as though weeping for my mother. The second reading this morning is taken from Matthew 6:5-8 and also 16-18. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that you will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the word of the God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask you to be with me and help me show the words that you want and share them today. Pray that the words I say will not come from me, but from you, Lord. Amen. Interesting that, because I just want to start by what Tom just said, the word passion, passion for you. I mean, this has nothing to do with my talk, so I'm sorry I'm at an angle, but I'll link it, don't worry. But it's about being passionate, isn't it? Passion for you, passion for Jesus. I was one of those passionate people at 4:42 thinking, no, Bristol Rovers, don't do it. And they did. And it suffered for Accrington Stanley because of that. I was passionate at that game. But how passionate are we for Jesus? And really, linking what I'm going to talk about, it's about passion and how we do it. We're talking about prayer and fasting. And so, first thing we want to do is just reflect and maybe say that we just need to spend time with Jesus. So what I've decided, rather than do a talk, you're just going to be quiet for 7 minutes and I can go home and wake up my son. He's probably still in bed. But then I said to Gary, up there, because Accrington Stanley didn't go up, I'm going to talk for 45 minutes because I'm going to be passionate. And he said, that's fine, John. Well, he didn't actually. He said, come on. Anyway, the gospel reading. I want to focus on that. The first bit in Matthew 6:5-6 gives guidance on prayer. And the second really reflects on fasting. But briefly in the first verses, this is about how not to pray. But it's important to note that it's not saying do not pray in public, but more about not making a show of it. The Pharisees timed their prayer movement so they'd be in a public place, so they could be seen. Whereas the disciples often prayed in private. I believe both are fine, and we should not be ashamed of praying in public. but just make sure we're not doing it to show off. I mean, this morning, me and Lorraine just were at the front of the church and just prayed. That's right. You know, I don't mind if people see me pray, but we felt it was right to do it then. It's a similar message about fasting. Again, during Jesus' time, fasting was a prominent element in the Jewish religious life. There were some prescribed days, such as the Day of Atonement, and individually the strict Pharisees prayed twice a week, but they made the people know they were doing it. So, what is fasting? I'm sure we all recognise the word and can even think of times we may have fasted. Perhaps part of a diet. I'm looking around, being very selective here. During Lent, we've all sort of tried to fast a bit sometimes, maybe from television fast or chocolate fast, but we always came back to the treat days on Sundays where we could do both. Prayer and fasting is defined as voluntary going without food in order to focus on prayer and fellowship with God. Prayer and fasting often go hand in hand, but it's not always the case. You can pray without fasting and fast without prayer. But it's when these two activities are combined and dedicated to God's glory that they can reach their full potential and their effectiveness. Having a dedicated time of prayer and fasting is not a way of manipulating God into doing what you desire. Rather, it's simply forcing yourself to focus and rely on God for strength, provision and wisdom we need. I want to explore a bit more about fasting and give some biblical examples later on. But often, to be focused prayerfully on God and what God wants is the purpose of fasting. You remember in the gospel reading, it says, when you fast, do not. But it says, wash your face, so people are aware of it. I said at this morning service, that's probably one for Adam. Maybe he's fasting a lot because he doesn't wash his face. I don't know. But that's their reluctance. It's a similar message about prayer. If we pray to draw attention to ourselves, then our motive may not be right. As I said, this does not mean we should only pray in private, as public prayer often has a good purpose. For ourselves, it gives us more confidence, and also it's a witness which we don't know what we're doing. Should we fast? I'm not a doctor, but I'm sure there's reasons not to fast, but there's also reasons to fast. The Word of God does not specifically command believers to spend time in prayer and fasting. At the same time, prayer and fasting is definitely something we should be doing. Far too often, though, the focus of prayer and fasting is on abstaining from food. Instead, the purpose of Christian fasting should be to take our eyes off the things of this world and focus on the thoughts of God. A medical reason, I suppose, fasting should be for a limited set of time. It wouldn't be too good if you fast all the time, because it might not do our bodies too good. But we are not to spend time in prayer and fasting in order to lose weight, but rather to gain deeper understanding and fellowship with God. By taking our eyes off things of the world through prayer and maybe fasting, we can focus better on Christ. Again, Matthew 6:16-18 declares that message entirely. Sorry, I've lost the page. There we are. I want to go on to some examples of the biblical fasting, and if Stuart can put the first slide on. The Old Testament, you'll be pleased to know I'm not going to go over every one of those readings, but maybe if you want to make a note of that, there's some examples. In Jeremiah, the first one, is about the day of fasting. And Exodus 34:28 is when Moses fasted during the 40 days and nights at Mount Sinai. And 2 Chronicles 20:3 is a king I can't pronounce, but I'll give it a go. King Jeshabat called for a fast in Israel when they're about to be attacked by the Moabites and Ammonites. And then we've got Jonah, which is his response to Jonah's preaching. The people of Nineveh fasted all day. And there's other times of prayer and fasting done at times of distress or trouble even. In 2 Samuel, we've got David fasted when he learned that Saul and Jonathan had been killed. And in Nehemiah, there was a time of prayer and fasting when he learned Jerusalem was in ruins. And finally, in Daniel, Darius, the king of Persia, fasted all night when he put Daniel in the den of lions. And then later on, Daniel himself fasted so intense in prayer that he neglected food. It's not all Old Testaments. Within the New Testament, there are other examples. And I'm sure there's more of this, but Luke 2:37, this is one for the ladies, because this is one of the examples where Anna worshipped all night and day, fasting and praying at the temple. I'm sorry, but that's the only woman I could find who fasted in the Bible, but I'm sure there's more. And in Mark, we've got John the Baptist, who taught his disciples to fast. And obviously in Matthew 4:2, that's when Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights before his temptation. And finally, we've got verses in Acts where the church of Antioch fasted and sent Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And then later, Paul and Barnabas spent time in prayer and fasting for appointment of elders in our church. So these are just some examples in the Old and New Testament of fasting and why they fasted. Some people, like Daniel, fasted to know what God's desire is. However, if we apply the message, it is clear we need to make sacrifices to prayerfully ask what God's will is. Can we really expect our prayer time to be fully effective if we do not make sacrifices? I mean, if you reflect on just our daily lives, if you are talking to someone and you have the television on, are we really listening? Are we distracted? I know the men among us here will say, yes, we can multitask and we can do both. And my son Adam's like that. He's a painful person who thinks he's not listening to you, and he's on his phone texting, and you ask him a question, he said, I know. But no, we can't really listen, and that's what it's with God. We really need to spend time, quiet time, reflecting, so when we pray, we're not interrupted. So the purpose of fasting and prayer, what does it accomplish? Spending time in prayer and fasting is not automatically effective in accomplishing the desires of those who fast. Fasting or no fasting, God only promises to answer our prayers when we ask according to his will. That's the difficult thing. What is God's will? And that's what we've got to start when we pray. Again, I know that 4:44 at Accrington Stanley, I was asking for God's will for them to get that ball in the net. But maybe God's will is saying, John, have a good day at Wembley. I don't know. But seriously, we've got to ask for God's will in our prayer time. In the book of John, chapter 5:14-15, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. In the prophet Isaiah, the people grumbled that they had fasted, yet God did not answer in the way they wanted. And Isaiah responded by proclaiming that the external show of fasting, going back to the Old Testament where they were just making it a show of it and prayer, without the proper heartfelt attitude, was useless. So how can we know if we are praying and fasting according to God's will? That's a difficult question, isn't it? Very difficult to know. We don't know what God's will is sometimes. But if we're asking for something that is not honouring God, it won't be right. Even if Accrington Stanley winning. God will not give us what we ask for, whether we fast or not. We need to know what God's will is. But God promises to give us wisdom when we ask. In James 1, chapter 5, it says, "If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." But we've got to make sacrifices, whether it's fasting or prayer. If we could just put the next slide on, please. That's a wicked one, that was Roger Longworth. Well, we won't go there. That's thrown me. How can you get that now? I'll tell you about that slide later on. But this one, I was speaking to Tom a while ago about this talk. And when we do our talks and we prepare, we sometimes say, well, you're given an article, I want you to talk about a biblical reference about this. And I was sharing Tom about this gentleman who I met when I was doing the marathon. And as you know, I've done a few now, and I was coming from Manchester, and this gentleman makes me look like, you know, a fat boy slim or whatever, because he's doing 401 consecutive marathons. And he, when I met him at Manchester Marathon, he was on his like 280th. And I asked myself, how does he do it? What sacrifices does he make? And he was a very gentle man. He was telling me he's taking a year off work, obviously. He's training hard. And that's really, in some respects, if we're expecting to take a challenge from God, we've got to make those sacrifices. And we've got to spend time with him, spend time quietly, spend time with people, to really know and prayerfully know what is right. And I believe that will help us with the challenges ahead. I'm on my 17th marathon now, and I've just come back from Belfast on Monday doing that one, but that's 17 in my life. You know, I only started at 42 or whatever. And I know that if I've got to get through the next few marathons, I've got to train harder, and really I probably even shouldn't be doing them because I'm carrying an injury. But it's like training with God. You know, we've got to prayerfully focus on God, and I believe that sometimes, you know, we put too many distractions in our way. So, a final thought. Fasting is not necessarily done to have a heightened spiritual experience, but the purpose is to give full concentration to God. It is interesting to note that sometimes, you know, we struggle to give up things. But when we're engrossed in something, we skip things out. I mean, who's missed a lunch because they've been reading a book really, you know, excited, I'll just read the next chapter, and so on and so forth. But perhaps that's what we need to be about Jesus. So engrossed in where we want to go and what we're going to do that we feel close to him. In the scriptures, both the Old and New Testament, we find that fasting and prayer often goes hand in hand. But I think the two links between the two passages is about purpose and passion. You know, the purpose of prayer is to be closer to God, not to show, as it says, you know, use big words, publicly display it. And the purpose of fasting, again, is to be closer to God and get that experience, not to show you're doing it. So I think the challenge for us is probably not so much to have a physical fast, but really to make sacrifices and prayerfully focus on what God wants in our lives. Amen.